I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Philadelphia Eagles got a W. Season hasn't even started yet. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl being restrained, and we'll get to the Knicks-Pacers ending in just a moment, but Pearl being restrained, you know, I guess I have to apologize to the audience. Yesterday, when the insiders were all reporting that they thought the Tush Push was going to get banned, I said, ding dong, the Tush Push is dead. Well, I got to take that back. It turns out in the 11th hour, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, tag team with Jason Kelsey, the future Hall of Fame center, really did walk into a room of decision makers at the owners' meetings in Minneapolis and convinced everybody to keep the Tush Push.
Yeah. Okay.
They physically threatened them.
Since I'm a Philadelphia
made more sense.
Eagles fan, I am going to actually see the negative out of all this. I think the Eagles were poised to lose the Tush Push, and this was going to be the sole thing driving them to repeat as champions. That was all their bulletin board material went away yesterday. Honestly, I was so excited for them to ban the Tush Push and then for them to just quarterback sneak and get all the first downs anyway, and they were going to have this to hang over the rest of the NFL. You couldn't figure us out, so you had to change your rules to stop us. That was the ultimate NFL flex, and they kind of lost that opportunity. But I'm also a little confused. Jason Kelsey reportedly said the Eagles are going to get those first downs anyway, so I think this was the key moment. So you might as well let them Tush Push. Because it's true, the quarterback sneak works 90% of the time, no matter if you're tush-pushing or not tush-pushing. Kelsey, I guess, convinced them that it's not a dangerous play by explaining the mechanics, which was a big deal. In reality, it was the put enough seed of doubt that it's not dangerous into the other owners, so they couldn't use that as an excuse. But you have to admit, it is a bizarre thing. Now the Eagles are taking this giant victory lap because they got to keep the tush-push. Why would they do that? Like, you understand the 22 teams voted against it. They're going to try and get rid of it next year.
Yeah, so they put out a big video about it. They put on out a photo that is the Eagles' official Twitter handle. It says "Push On," and it's a Jalen Hurts lining up for the Tush Push against the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. And you know, learning more about this yesterday, I was listening to Diana Rossini talk about it with Chase Daniel on their pod. That I had not put this two and two together, so forgive me if you guys had, and I'm a little slow on the uptick. That the reason why the Packers were the ones who proposed this is not because the Packers really had a problem with it. It's because they don't have an owner. So they told the Packers, so this is not attached to like one owner who's basically going against another owner in Jeffrey Lurie who wants to keep it. So they said, well, let's have the Packers do it. Then you have Matt LaFleur out there being like, well, I don't know if it's safe. Like, apparently the Packers could have cared less, according to her, and she's been all over this. It was just they don't have an owner, so the league thought, let's let the Packers bring this to the forefront so it doesn't get pinned on one person.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I didn't know that.
I think at the end of the day, the argument against it just wasn't compelling enough, and I don't think they're done. I think this is a stay of execution. I think they're waiting for one twisted ankle, one injury, and then they're going to come back after this again. Because, you know, the NFL changes its rules all the time. So I just think, like, last night they were afraid. It looked like the visual would have been, we can't stop it, so we're just going to outlaw it. Like, basically, at the end of the day, there was no better reason except that it's a little boring and we can't stop it. So I think the NFL didn't want to, at least 10 owners said, we'd look like chumps if we outlawed this play.
So and I feel like maybe I'm not the one who should be reading this quote, but I'll do it anyway, because sometimes you got to take one for the team. So this is from Seth Wickersham's article about what happened in the room with Jeffrey Lurie making this big impassioned plea to keep the Tush Push. Excuse me. Thank you, Manny. Toward the end of the speech that lasted close to an hour, Lurie made an analogy, telling the room that regardless of whether the play was banned, it was a win-win for the Eagles. Adding, quote, it was like a wet dream for a teenage boy to create a play that was so successful that the only way for it to be stopped was for it to be banned. I'm not ordering a blow-up doll. Now, I got to be honest. When I think about teenage male fantasies, I wasn't sure that just being right was on the top of the list.
Well, I mean, in Philadelphia.
It feels like a middle-aged man fantasy, not so much a teenage man fantasy.
Yeah, but being in Philadelphia, winning the Super Bowl is kind of right up there.
It's porn.
Yeah, I mean, sex is great and all, but I mean, come on.
But go Birds.
Saquon Barkley. Yeah, exactly. And listen, trust me, you're a Bills fan. You're telling me most teenage boys in Buffalo, that's about 50-50.
Can we? I don't know if this is uncouth to do this, but hell, here we are. Would you give up sex for a year for your team to win the Super Bowl?
Not the Super Bowl.
In high school, I would have. Not by my choice.
You can't have...
in high school, I did.
The game can't be giving it up for you. You have to be consciously be giving it up.
Yeah, I tried
you have
that.
Access to
I
it.
I tried that method in high school, and Buddy Ryan couldn't quite get over the top in Philly. But...
neither could you.
Yeah, absolutely true.
We had two people striking out.
Stranded at third.
You, Andy Reid, Buddy Ryan.
Okay.
Not a lot of people getting to the goal.
I'm going to say something about popular. I don't think that quote was that bad.
Silly.
It's silly, but sometimes we do use that expression to describe something that's really great. This is like a...
Yeah,
I mean...
Not at work, necessarily.
But it is not... I don't think it was a dirty comment or anything like that. You know, it's an expression that people use to describe something that is like beyond your dreams. Like, like for me, that situation would be sitting on my couch and having food delivered to watch football all day. That's like my version of that. Right. I think a lot of us are like that.
Bar's
lowered
for you.
Isn't that everybody here's dream is just like have nothing on your plate for 8 hours and just get to sit there and eat food on your couch and watch football?
I think for a lot of people's dream, it's actually this type of dream. I think they actually want to meet a lady.
It's a middle-aged man. The fantasy changes over time. Then it becomes...
Now it's more about DoorDash.
Yeah. There's a movie where Adam Sandler plays an aging comedian. He's like, you know, in my 30s, I was all about going out there and getting women. In my 40s, it's all about going to the fridge and seeing if there's a sandwich there. Everybody has a different version of a wet dream. And I think Lurie's analogy, while completely inappropriate, I think it did the trick. I think he
drove
was effective.
It home.
I think the owners are like, I'm confused. I don't know if that was inappropriate or not. It was like a great lawyer. It was almost like Johnny Cochran in the OJ trial. Jeffrey Lurie just muddied the waters.
Amazing. But what he's saying is actually, it's like it was a threat. You know, he's like, if you ban this, we're going to come back with the wrath of 1,000 young men, you know, or we're going to come back with 1,000 fantasies about this or whatever he's trying to say. Like, this will be bad for you. The other thing that he said that made no sense besides the wet dream comment. Well, that's what he was doing, right?
Well, that particular comment... No, but that comment was not a threat. Oh, wait, you're saying that meaning like we're going to come up with another play?
No, he's saying that if you ban this, it's like a wet dream for us. Like you're giving us so much bulletin board material. That's what he was saying. It was like a threat to the rest of the league. Go ahead and ban it. We can't wait for you to ban it, just like you said.
Oh, God, no. I thought he was saying this is a wet dream to have come up with a play. I thought he was talking about in the past tense. Like, I don't think he was saying... Oh, wait.
No, he said it's a win-win because it's like a wet dream to create a play that was so successful, the only way for it to be stopped was for it to be banned.
Right.
You said that like the bulletin board material that would have propelled the Eagles to another Super Bowl.
But he said the dream was to have created it, not like, I didn't say like, we're going to go back in the lab. We can't wait to do this.
Well,
did you read that as a
warning?
Yeah, I mean, I interpreted it as you guys are so pathetic that you guys are trying to ban a play that you now have deemed as so unstoppable. Like, you know how much that's like a cherry on top to the Super Bowl. Not only did we win a Super Bowl, but we dominated you guys so much that you wanted to ban something. That gets me off.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't actually, you guys could totally be right. I didn't read that as a warning shot because there were other, I don't think they explicitly said we are going to come at you hard. I mean, I don't think Lurie said that. I didn't see that in the reports, but I read a really good column by Mike Silver of the New York Times / Athletic saying that the Eagles already had a plan in place to use this as emotional bulletin board material.
Which is what you said.
But I didn't think they were going to come up with another great play.
So the other part of this that I thought was that I didn't really make a lot of sense is apparently one of the reasons why Jeffrey Lurie was able to make this impassioned plea to the rest of the owners, and it, supposedly it worked on some of them, was that if you ban this, it's somehow less safe for the game, and that you'll have to live on your conscience with the liability of quarterbacks like getting hurt, I guess, by traditional QB sneaks or something like that.
That was the NFL owner version of, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Oh my God.
Why? I couldn't understand. I'm like, you are putting these quarterbacks at risk. Because they're arguing that tush push is safer than a normal quarterback sneak. And the only reason I kind of maybe believe that is I saw your Bills run some sloppy quarterback sneak where Josh Allen had to run around and,
well,
you know.
Allen's always putting himself in harm's way. But he suggested that owners who vote to ban the play would be taking on the liability of potentially increasing injury risk. I'm like, explain that to me like I'm five. Just because we have like 100 years of data about the QB sneak and we've got 4 years of data for the tush push?
Well, I guess they're arguing
safer?
The way the tush push works is the quarterback is less exposed because there's so many people around him, which kind of makes sense. I mean, there's no way Jalen Hurts could get hurt on that play, theoretically.
Didn't Mahomes get hurt on the play, and that's why they don't run
On a normal quarterback sneak, you're more exposed, right? You don't have as many guys around you. Is that the whole point of it? It's just a big push?
I don't know. I feel like I've heard Jason Kelsey, who was also there yesterday, also on behalf of the tush push. I don't know why people would think that he's an unbiased figure. You know, Jeffrey Lurie's paid him millions and millions of dollars. Obviously, he's still an ambassador for the team. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I just don't understand how he can talk about the tush push so differently after games than he did yesterday. He had a little bit of time, a little bit of distance, and now he's like, I'd come back out of retirement if I could run 80 tush pushes in a row. Is not the vibe you ever got from Kelsey after a game. He's like, it's a hard play.
Be careful, Maggie. You take on a Kelsey, you're taking on Taylor Swift Nation.
Bring it on.
He's a Swiftie.
He's a Swiftie by marriage.
I think his wife has like the most popular podcast in America right now. The Kelseys are at the top of the mountain right now. Jason Kelsey can do whatever he wants. He's Jason Kelsey. There's no rules that apply. You were mad at him because he was drinking a beer at the Bills game.
Yeah, get out of our tailgate.
Come on. Jason Kelsey, there are no rules for that man.
By the way,
he's a superhero.
By the way, like I think it's real.
That works well for athletes.
Lori, Kelsey, and the Eagles made the NFL look like fools.
Yes.
I've never seen 29 billionaires look like complete, utter fools than what happened yesterday.
And Goodell, by the way.
Oh, and Roger Goodell.
Who made this like a pet project that it seemed like it was all coming from the league because they just didn't like it. The health and safety data is all bunk. They know they can't use that, or at least it's not conclusive enough. And so they went to like aesthetics of the game. Clearly, Goodell wanted to get this through, and teams were like, no.
Newsflash, Pearl. America's team is the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm declaring that today. You know why? Because Jeffrey Lurie walked in there and said, I dare you guys to do something against us. And those guys cowered.
It was crazy.
I don't think America pathetic. Thinks that.
Well, America definitely doesn't think that.
A lot of America doesn't want the Cowboys to be America's team. It's not a choice. It's just a decree. Just like the Cowboys got all the shine, got all the edge. That's over now. It is now Philadelphia Eagles country because of these bozos that don't know how to run their own league.
I hated the last 90 seconds of the show.
No, I think I think the Eagles are now a little, they're like the mafia or something. No. It's like they come in there with their muscle. Like literally Jeffrey Lurie brings a goon with him to the meeting, threatening with a crowbar in his hands, you know, threatening to break some knees. Yeah, Big Dom. I'm surprised Dom, I'm sure, was outside. Locking the door, you know? Like Bronx Tale style, locking the door. Now you guys can't leave. It felt like a shakedown.
The vote was 22 to 10. We understand that they got 22 of the owners to ban a quarterback sneak. It's pretty close. I'm just telling you, enjoy it this year.
Yeah, but they thought they had it.
Yeah.
They're telling Diana Russini, tells me, oh, yeah, this thing's going away. It's over. We've been hearing this for days. And then they go in there and Jeffrey Lurie talks about wet dreams and Jason Kelsey talks about wanting to do 80 QB sneaks, and now, oh, you know what? We're going to not ban it. Like, the Eagles run the NFL. This is the worst timeline. Tyrese Haliburton doing choke signs, and the Eagles run the NFL.
Now they'll get rid of it
next year. This is not Manny's wet dream.
This is the darkest timeline we could live in America.
This is ridiculous.
What is
this
that,
by the way? Utterly ridiculous. Is that quarterback sneak? What are you talking about?
Well, it's your secret sauce, or else you wouldn't put out a 20-minute victory lap video on your social media accounts. Not you, the Eagles.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, Jason, but I totally agree with Kelsey. Like, he's getting those first downs no matter what you do, which is like, if that's the case, then why are we fighting so hard for this thing?
Perloff, this is because you came in and you put it on the table. That's why. You showed who was the bigger, I don't know. I think Lurie went in there desperate, quite frankly, but it now comes out looking like he's the mafia don.
I think it's more like the other owners felt sorry for this guy. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know you cared that much. It's not that big a deal. You could have the play. Just shut up. Stop crying. Just shut up. I mean, also,
take the cookie.
Did you see the quote from the Jed Yorko? Is like, dude, are you, he said a curse word, but he's like, are you done with this? Like, who cares? We have a multi-billion dollar business. We're trying to expand into China. Just stop. I think he wore them into submission, filibuster style. I don't think it was some big power move. The funny thing too is they don't. You watch the Super Bowl. The tush push had nothing to do with it. Their defensive line destroyed the Chiefs. There's no tush push in that.
Yeah, so but the funny thing is that was just the final game.
No. The tush push had nothing to do with the Eagles' playoff run at all.
Then why is the owner in there, defending and dying for it? It matters,
but it's marginally matters. Do you think the Eagles' win total changes if the tush push goes away? I don't personally think so.
But Pearl, if we're just looking at the evidence here, you said it yourself, and you said it was embarrassing. The Eagles are celebrating like they just got one over on the league.
I don't. It's my own team, but I mean, critical. Like, stop. Just like, yeah, I think they were all prepared to get. I think the social media team was probably given the direction, we're going to lose this vote, because I do think that they were.
So let's be petty about it.
Let's be petty about it. And that energy, for some reason, the ownership didn't get to the social media team in time to slow them down. We won.
They were too busy high-fiving. Yeah.
It felt like the same energy of the schedule release day, where all the social media teams put out these really funny videos. I'm like, dude, why are you dunking on the league? You know where this goes. I've seen it before. You saw it with Al Davis and the Raiders. Like, that was a mess for 30 years. And you saw it with the Patriots. The Patriots basically gave the middle finger to the league. And the league does not forget.
Yeah, it really hurt them with their 6 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but they fined them draft picks, millions of dollars. They made Brady go to court and destroy his phone. Like, they will come back in the most petty ways possible. If I'm Jalen Hurts, I'm basically getting a new phone. Because you don't think the league is going to try? They will try to avenge this.
Set up Jalen Hurts and some kind of sting operation.
Prepaid phone.
Who's acting like the conspiracy there is now?
I will tell you right now, for every action, there is a reaction. Guarantee the NFL comes after the Eagles in the next 3 years. Guarantee.
For what?
Howie Roseman
making what? An illegal overture to Kirk Cousins at some point?
They turned Deflategate. They hired a former congressional aide or something to do a 7,000-word report on Deflategate. That was deflated football. So you say for what? For anything. It doesn't matter. They're coming after the Eagles.
And they won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah. And the Patriots ran the NFL for a decade. I'm telling you. You need to embrace this, Pearl. I think this is a great moment for you. We are in the Eagles era. This is scary. I can't believe what happened yesterday. They ran circles around those other guys. The NFL literally hired Jason Kelce to be a league partner, a broadcast partner with the NFL, and then he's in a meeting advocating for one of the NFL teams.
Something the NFL wants to get rid of.
Yes, the Eagles are running rings around the rest of the NFL in every aspect: draft, trades, on the field performance. Now, backdoor table kind of negotiations. They got the league on lockdown. This is Eagles football. We're done. It's over.
I don't think that's what's actually happening at all.
How do you not embrace this?
I don't know. He's got the evidence.
Yeah. This
thing was actually kind of lame from the Eagles. I think it would have been better set up to get banned.
Well,
honestly, I really think the team would be better if it got banned.
Yes, because you want to be the underdog, but you can't claim to be it because you're the top dog now. What EJ is saying, you now run the block.
And that's clearly not the case, by the way.
How is it not the case?
Because everyone knows how the NFL works. Like, there's a lot of powerful people in that room. And I'm telling you, every action has a reaction. Just watch how the next 5 years unfold. You don't think Goodell and Jerry and all these guys are going to try to do something?
Jerry Jones, that guy, he's really great at stopping other teams from beating his teams.
Jerry is not the puppet master anymore. Robert Kraft is not the puppet master anymore. These guys are getting old, man.
Yeah, I mean, Lurie... Honestly, I don't think Lurie is a puppet master in the way you guys think he is.
Well, it's weird because the manner by which he went about doing this and getting, people on his side for the vote.
He openly wept in an NFL
seems kind of lame, but it was obviously very baller. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Perloff's uncomfortable being top dog here. Go Birds. I think you should embrace it. I think that's right. Coming up, we do have some details about the Brock Purdy contract that we want to get into. And we also have the hits keep coming for Bill Belichick. it's all angles right now. I mean, New York Times one day, Sirius XM Radio another day, dropping some things about him. We'll get to all of that. It's M&P.
Sex is great and all, but I mean...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. I'm not saying what this song is called. I'm not saying these words anymore. I'm out on this. Maggie, you can't.
I mean, what's you want song me to
called?
Say it?
Yeah, what's the song called?
I already said it once. So
well, okay.
It's called Wet Dreams.
That is a scientific
term. It's
from
Jeffrey Lurie. Shout out.
It happens. We all took health class in seventh grade. We know what this is.
It's amazing that I'm the one who has to say it when this is in my lane.
Well, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, got chastised by Troy Vincent in the NFL. We don't want to get chastised.
So you want me to say it? So
yeah,
that you
because
guys
no one's going to chastise
what
you
do you
for
think
that.
Dave Meredith's going to bust in here and be like, ha ha. He might. I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's probably home laughing.
Has Dave ever yelled at anyone in his life? I'm not sure.
It's porn. Oh, man. That would be uncomfortable.
He is a happy individual.
Yeah, he would yell and he'd have a smile from ear to ear while he was yelling at you.
He has the loudest, most... fun-loving laugh you could ever come across.
Shut up, Dave.
You can hear it from multiple floors away.
Yeah, people say Mr. Belding.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. It really like spices things up around
sure does.
Here, too. But no, I just think it's weird because this is just not something that I've ever had any experience with. This is y'all's lane, you know? So if Jeff Lurie says that banning the tush push would be like a wet dream to a teenager, I guess I just have to believe him because it's his word against... nobody.
The NFL really let him say that and then gave him the tush push. Like, it's that these guys are clowns.
Go Birds.
All this effort to try to get this thing banned. Jeffrey Lurie pulls that out. You're like, you know what?
He's got a point.
Gotta keep it back.
Hadn't thought of it that way.
The Eagles are just, they're beating the NFL at every level. It's insane.
True. I think they beat him. I mean, they were just so bored of the whole thing at this point. They're like, fine, keep the play. Like, if it means that much to you, have it.
I think that Howie Roseman is now the guy you don't want to do trades with, right? Because you feel like you're not going to get the best of them. Just thinking about that, I'll wet my pants. That I have some experience with. The other thing, no. Brad is in Oregon. Brad, what do you have, sir?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as always. I got a question. Is there a rule in the rule book that says the defensive backs can't push the defensive line in a quarterback sneak or in during the tush push? And if there is a rule, then the owner should have voted that rule out and give the defense just as much opportunity as the offense.
So that's interesting. So you have the linebackers pushing the defensive lineman in the butt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Double tush push. Exactly.
There's no rule against that, I don't think.
Well, there's a leverage rule, which we see a lot on.
You can't jump over the top.
Well, that's, I mean, you can't use that guy to, as leverage to jump over the top. Yeah. That's interesting. Can you push? So we'll have two tush pushes.
Yeah.
Brad, I think you just had the wet dream version of football strategy right there.
Oh, my God. Well, but here's my question,
though.
Great
show, guys.
Thank you, Brad. It's still low man wins, right?
Yeah.
So, and you're always going to be at the advantage for the offense because you know when you're hiking the ball.
Exactly.
So I think it's just hard for the defenses to get a beat on that because even if you're pushing, if Jalen Hurts is already under the pile 2 yards – you know, 2 yards ahead of you, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. You got a better idea?
Well, I'm just thinking it's, you know, you got to push. So you got to do the tush push, but you got to have a big lower half, mm-hmm. right, to execute something like this. Jalen Hurts squats like 600 mm-hmm. pounds. But then you go over to the defensive guys. No one's got bigger tushes than those dudes.
Because yeah.
they're the biggest dudes on planet Earth.
Yeah, yeah. They're big. Well.
Just more surface area to push.
One of the ways... historically, for defenses, counters try to hurt the offensive player. Like, that is the famous go for the quarterback's head. I don't know how you do that. Because everybody's, as Jason Kelsey rightfully argued yesterday, everybody's too close to each other. You can't injure somebody. It's like a rugby scrum. And that's why people don't get hurt in the same way in rugby. Yeah, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words for the defense. I'm actually a little afraid the rest of the NFL is going to use this now.
Well, here's what I'd love to know. So, like, my Bills run it the second most times after your Eagles. Pittsburgh Steelers run it a lot. The Eagles brought in this, like, world-renowned rugby player to come in and teach them how to do it. Have the Bills done that? Like, you need to go to the PhD-level experts here. This is not your, you know, offensive coordinators, run-of-the-mill, are not going to be able to obviously give you the right secret sauce here.
Well, yeah, and I think the Eagles have the personnel, too.
Well,
they
have
Jalen Hurts, famously squat 700 pounds. They have these, put a lot of resources drafting into the middle of their offensive line, a lot. I saw Dan Campbell, the Lions, voted for it, but he said, we'll never run that with Jared Goff. They just said that he's physically not the kind of quarterback who can do that. So
soak a couple of the balls.
But, you know, Josh Allen's so big, I think the Bills should use it. He's so big and strong. He falls down. It's 4 yards. I mean, Tom Brady is probably the greatest quarterback sneaker of all time. He's 6'5". He just had a good sense of timing. He wasn't particularly athletic.
And didn't need any push from behind either.
Yeah, White wasn't back there doing work. And the other part is, I don't remember Tom Brady, any of his centers aren't going to the Hall of Fame. It's not like,
well, yeah,
who were some of his best linemen, not to get into the weeds, Matt Light.
Light was great.
Okay, but he does not. It's
Logan
not like,
Mankins was in there.
We're not talking about him like Kelsey, who gets the God treatment.
I think the Patriots, like the Eagles, had a strong interior line. That was a big deal. You got to protect Brady up the middle. But I think it was, quarterback sneaks are, you know, one thing that fans are always right about. They always yell, run the quarterback sneak. And we all get mad when the team doesn't do that. And you hand the ball off, it makes no sense. And we always say, go for it on fourth down or run the quarterback sneak. That's the one thing fans are smarter than coaches at.
When someone's in shotgun and third and one or fourth and one, it just, you're at home just like, why?
Yeah.
I hate you.
You're afraid your quarterback is uncoordinated or something.
It's like in the NBA when the Celtics take all those threes up 16 points. It's the exact same thing.
Right. It's like, work the clock.
Yeah.
Joe Mazzulla.
Drive to the basket.
Now he's home, and maybe a lesson, maybe from the Knicks last night. We'll get into that in a moment because CeeLo is here. But quickly, Frank's in Georgia. We're just talking about the Patriots, Frank. You're a big Pats fan down in Georgia.
What a race Pats fan, and I have a little advice for Pearl. Man, just take the win. You guys are sitting on top of the NFL right now, just like I used to be, and just take the win. It's the other team's responsibility to try to stop you.
Frank, Eagles fans can't take the win because our whole identity is to be the underdog. Like our whole identity is everyone's out to screw us.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL hates us. The other teams hate us. That is who we are. We can't be at the top of the mountain. It's not comfortable.
You don't think the Patriots had a little of that? They used it for six Super Bowls.
I mean, the Patriots used to be the doormats of the NFL. And all of a sudden they turned around and they were kings of the hill. Identities change. And your identity now as the Eagles and the Eagles fans, You guys are in the driver's seat, and enjoy it.
Yeah, Frank, that got philosophical. I kind of like
Patriots
that. You don't have to be lumped into your box of your identity, you know? You can be whatever you want to be.
But the Patriots didn't go around bragging about Spygate. Like, they didn't go around, they didn't put out a video of all the illegal angles they had on the opposing coaching staff.
Yeah, but they kept doing it.
They kept doing it, but they tried to do it quietly. They didn't rub it in. Yeah, I mean, they were the opposite of the Eagles. There was no victory lap. They were like, we don't even do it. They denied they even did it.
The victory lap was the Super Bowls that they kept winning. Frank, thank you for putting a little perspective
right, but
there.
They
like that.
Super quiet and under the radar about all the ways they were cheating. Where the Eagles are like, yeah, we gotcha. The Patriots were never like that. They're like, we don't deflate footballs, which they obviously did. We don't, you know, they said it was a videotaping procedural error.
Right,
they were spying.
Right, but the tush push also is not illegal.
Right.
So you don't have to act like you're covering up a crime.
Is it really? So you guys all think the Eagles should be taking a victory lap today, like putting out that video in the Nike style ad?
I think the fans should. And I think
the fans should, but the team?
Why not? You're better than everybody else. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, I agree with Frank. Like, you're acting as if, like, you're some massive underdog that
little sister's
that like you're lucky that you got to where you are. No, you draft better than everybody else. You train better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. You practice better than everybody else. You play better than everybody else. You got more talent. Your GM's smarter. You make better trades. And now we now know your owner is way smarter and can maneuver things behind the scenes better than any other owner. Because the NFL worked for months to try to ban a rule that specifically helps the Eagles, and they couldn't do it because of one man, a guy they literally hired to work for at ESPN. The Eagles run the NFL. Just admit it.
You forgot Sirianni got extended. I mean,
yeah, that guy has a Super Bowl ring now.
This is all awful for Eagles fans. Everything you just described.
For a lot of this, all of a you're trying
to, I can tell. You're trying to mush my team. I understand what's
not
happening.
Not at all. I'm being realistic.
DJ would switch places to you in 1 second.
If they do all that stuff so well, why do they need the tush push? If they could draft better than everybody and like
just like the Patriots got away with everything too. It's the exact same thing. Just like the Chiefs have been getting away with stuff for the last few years too. It's the Eagles.
What the Chiefs got away with?
All those terrible flags that everybody throws against every other team the Chiefs play? What do you mean?
I mean, you're saying Clark Hunt is like some mafia boss walking in that room?
I think every franchise has their turn. And we talk about the lack of parity in the NFL and how dynasties have really kind of become a thing. I think now we know the Eagles are one of those teams right now. It's very clear. How long it will last, I don't know. But your perch at the top of the mountain is clear. It's obvious.
Center
of the football universe, Philadelphia.
I think in New Orleans, all that was cool. What happened yesterday was closer to a little bit sad, to be totally honest. Like Jeffrey Lurie throwing himself on the sword in front of for 45 minutes in front of the other owners. Like, I just thought, it was like, dude, what? It just looks a little deedy.
Let's put a poll question up. Yeah. Jeffrey Lurie yesterday, more mafia boss, more sad filibuster. I don't know what you want to call it. Basically glazed over everything. Unfortunate choice of words that I generally have most days.
Yeah, that one though, that's out of context. I mean, that's a normal thing to say.
Right. By the way, I know it's a wrong
glaze over. That's not that's not like.
Yeah, you can't say it anymore though. As Frank said, identity has changed. The identity of the word glaze is now totally different. Thank you, Gen Alpha.
You say mafia boss, by the way. Did Don Corleone ever get chided by Troy Vincent? Did Don Corleone ever get.
Yeah, right.
Dude, just.
That was in the director's cut.
Did another mafia boss, like the 49ers, say, dude, just shut up. Guy's got to settle. And Jeffrey Lurie, by the way, his style is not mafia boss. He is. Not Machiavelli and Maggie.
Those are the people you never see coming.
He is a whole different thing. And then you bring out your enforcer. So that makes Jason Kelce Luca Brasi?
Sleeps with the fishes.
Luca Brasi was a cold-blooded killer. Jason Kelce was, I think, he's like, can I wear overalls and no shirt to this meeting? Yeah. He's Jason Kelce, come on.
The only thing they were missing from that meeting yesterday was Big Dom getting up and speaking on behalf of the
And the Eagles Mohawk guy.
Right.
I think maybe the White House hired Big Dom. Like, they let him have the microphone when the Eagles visited the White House, and I feel like maybe Trump was just like, I'm keeping this guy.
Give you one thing. I do agree. Big Dom definitely runs everything in Philly. That's become clear. He is the de facto GM, coach, offensive coordinator, security guard.
That's your mafia connection right there.
I didn't want to lean into the stereotype. CeeLo, what's going on today?
All right. Prior to the Tyrese Halliburton clank, drop, and choke at the end of regulation, there was the deadly three-point shooting of Aaron Nesmith for the Indiana Pacers.
Across the timeline, left edge. Nesmith's been unconscious. This time is three from the left edge. Cuts the New York lead down to two. And now New York will spend its final timeout. Wow.
You can hear the quiet Madison Square Garden there. Stunned disbelief. Mark Boyle, Pacers radio. Wow was right. 6 threes down the stretch for Nesmith. 8 of 9 for the game. He finished with 30 points. And the Halliburton heroics sent the game to overtime, where the Pacers did finish off the Knicks 138-135, completing a comeback from 17 down in the fourth quarter, 14 across the final 250 of regulation, 9 in the final minute. Now, entering Wednesday, according to Elias, teams that trailed by 9 or more in the final minute of the fourth quarter or OT of a playoff game since 1998. I guess when they started tracking play-by-play, 0-1,414.
These numbers are they're massive. What was the one I gave you before, according to the Associated Press?
944, right?
Yeah, teams that were up 14 with under 3 minutes left to go in regulation in the playoffs since 1998 were 994-0.
Yes.
What were teams when there was 1 second left on the clock and the shooter hit the back iron? What was the number there?
It was unbelievable. Really was something we haven't seen probably ever to this extent, though we have seen some epic comebacks from the Pacers already in this postseason. Nothing new, says Halliburton.
We played a lot of games where it felt like the other team had control. It ain't over till it's over, till it hits zero. That's a hell of a win, you know, but I really do think there's a lot for us to improve on.
That was on TNT after the game. He went with the Reggie Miller choke after what he thought was a game-winning three at the end of regulation.
It's got to feel right, and it felt right at the time. If it would have been, if I would have known it was a two, I would not have done it.
And then here's where, when the dust settled, he acknowledged.
Voice changed over there, by the way.
Yeah,
I noticed it.
Yeah, a little high. I mean, there's some excitement after the game on the court versus settled. I was looking for one where it changed mid-sentence again. I haven't come across that yet. But here he was acknowledging the moment's probably passed for the series here.
I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then I might be, people might say I'm like aura farming. So I'm not, I don't plan on using it again.
Aura farming, I believe.
The fact that he used that in a press conference just shows how corny this guy is.
EJ, I didn't even, wait, what? We
aura
were just talking about
farming.
Glazing is out. Can't say that anymore, America.
I can already feel the aura.
Aura farming?
Aura farming.
Aura. Yeah.
Very Gen Z.
Gen Z or Gen Alpha?
Gen Z says it a lot. Alpha, I guess, does it too. The fact that he said that in a press conference is like, come on.
I think it's how he talks.
That's tough.
Tough way to talk. Why? Because that's online only or text message?
Yeah, it's like the fact that he's even thinking about the idea that like he wants to do it. But, like, he knows he'd be aura farming, which only, like, anyone below 25 knows what he's even talking about.
Well, he's speaking to his audience.
Yeah.
Although it's funny because the move that he's replicating happened 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So did the under 25 set even understand it's an homage to Reggie?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Tyrese Halliburton stuff is copied.
They only
so is Tatum. Remember Tatum's whole victory tour was all other people's things that they said?
He copied Tatum yesterday. He showed up to the game wearing Tim, just like Tatum did in Game 3 a couple weeks ago.
It is impossible!
And they're very good friends, too, by the way.
What's up with young people not having an original thought?
He did the Dame.
Too busy oral farming.
He did the Dame time celebration after one of the in-season tournament things. Like, this is his thing. He steals someone else's thing and does it for himself. Mm.
I mean, I don't think EJ could be a source today. Judging the Pacers.
No offense,
EJ. Give it some time. I understand. You actually felt this way before.
This is imitation, sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah, I don't think EJ's opinions on Tyrese Halliburton today should be taken without a grain of salt.
Not a neutral observer.
No, but you have been saying this, but there's some, I can't imagine Knicks fans like, any Knicks fan likes that dude right now.
No, but it actually makes me a little bit more, I don't know, I can't say impressed, but when Ja Morant did the grenade thing, at least we haven't seen that before. It was wildly inappropriate considering what he was facing at the time, but at least it was original.
And it was an improvement from the other celebration.
Yeah, the machine gun in celebration, which needs to be retired permanently.
And remind me, he was doing the, like,
he pulled the needle.
Yeah.
The pin. Excuse me.
There was one celebration I didn't. What was Campaign doing after he hit his threes? What's that celebration? He was, like, wiping his mouth.
I didn't
see
those.
Your name out of my. What was that?
I didn't even see.
I didn't see
it was
one.
A giant slow-mo, and he sort of does this with his mouth.
Must be a new thing.
I'm sure he would do it all the time. He just never hits a shot until last night.
I mean, first three he made since game one of the first series.
Yeah.
Literally.
That's not hyperbolic.
An epic game one.
I know.
The last one.
Yeah, it's the best game he's ever played, and I don't know if he'll ever see that
again.
Played
in the finals, I mean.
I know.
And was good in the finals.
He was okay, yeah.
When he was a son?
Yeah.
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 It's a long time ago.
A few moons ago.
I love the reaction from Pearl.
Good. Was he really that good? I remember he had his moments.
He had like a campaign game.
He was killing the Lakers one of those games. Yeah, he had some good games in that playoffs.
CeeLo, that's where we got to leave it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. We will get more from you next hour. We promise. We're so busy learning new words, like aura farming. Coming up, we will check on the latest critic of Bill Belichick. It's Maggie and Pearl.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. A lot on the table. I think you guys are all wrong on the tush push. If you're the Eagles, you have to act like you've been there before, that act like you've had an unstoppable play that the league tried to ban but didn't quite ban because you gave a 45 million filibuster. That's what great teams do, Maggie.
We asked you on X at Maggie and Pearl, how would you describe Jeffrey Lurie's efforts to prevent the NFL from banning the tush push? Is it a boss move or was it sad and desperate? Pretty close. Boss move, though, winning 56%. Had Kelsey there, his muscle with him. We will get to the Knicks and the Pacers and that shocking ending last night. But first, a little from Bill.
He's calling the plays, but she's calling the shots. It's time for As the Tar Heel Turns.
All right, well, Bill Belichick really has been getting slammed from all angles here.
I'm sorry, that's going to get me every time.
New York Times writing a big piece about him. Everyone's got something to say about his relationship with Jordan Hudson and Perloff. People like us who are trying to keep this story above the fray, we just keep asking, but what about the football?
People like us. People like me. You love the fray.
Yeah, that's true. I'm all in the fray.
You're swimming in the fray.
It's my favorite part of the story is the fray, but people are asking, what about the football? Well, of all people, here comes legendary college football coach Mac Brown.
What?
The last man who had the North Carolina job and obviously legendary Texas coach. So here's Mac Brown on SiriusXM yesterday talking to those folks about leaving UNC. He said, bottom line, there was no more money.
It was time for me. North Carolina didn't have NIL money and I said we were kind of a slow bleed. We weren't able to recruit the top kids like we were when we first got there. So it was time for them, and it was time for me. So it was kind of like a divorce. Everybody was ready.
All right. That seems fair. But now how have things changed? The Belichick Pearl is in charge at North Carolina. Well, Mac Brown said one very important thing has changed.
Yeah, now he's arguably the best coach ever. They've committed money to it. They've helped them with academics. They've lowered those standards some. So there's absolutely no reason that they shouldn't be successful. And anymore, they've changed the roster. I think they've signed maybe 60-something new transfers. So you've got a chance to succeed at the highest level. And I expect them to do that. And I'm proud for them.
Setting the bar a little high for the next guy coming in. And you can understand, because I'm sure Mac Brown does obviously respect Bill Belichick. I'm sure all coaches do. But Pearl, that it wasn't a shot, but that was something to say that North Carolina has loosened their academic standards since Belichick has gotten there. Ipso facto, it's going to be easier for him to field a winning team because he doesn't have to deal with the rigorous academics that Mac Brown had to.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what he's doing. He's like, well, I couldn't win because they had a tap like this. This guy, if he wins, it's because they let him do things I didn't. By the way, it is college football. That is a very valid argument for a coach. We all know what's happening at Notre Dame right now. They lowered their academic standards. So that is a big thing in football. Yeah, of course, he's right. There's a lot more money coming in.
I love it that Mac Brown had to somehow field a team where they had no money and everyone was nerds. You know, only Ivy Leaguers that they could get for North Carolina before this. Now Bill Belichick can let in anybody. It's like, I don't know if it was like that at North Carolina. It's a great school. I couldn't get in, but.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you know, colleges always have that. Then every college has some issue with academics.
No, I get it. Yeah. But it's also, I never thought that North Carolina was holding themselves to that former Notre Dame standard, Northwestern standard. There's some other Stanford. There's some other places that really don't budge on the academics. I thought North Carolina would play ball with you a little more.
Oh, I have no idea because it's North Carolina football. I mean, we're talking about basketball or football?
I'm talking about athletics, like whatever they need.
Remember, this is a school that had an academic cheating scandal.
The guys clearly couldn't pass the
Yeah, because at most schools, they just give them the grade. You know what I mean?
What was happening.
That actually was an honor for North Carolina that these guys had to actually cheat. Where most schools, it's like, don't show up, who cares, right? I mean, I assume.
Probably varies.
North Carolina does give a lot of talk to them being, you know, they're one of the hardest schools in the country to get into. They're not, they're probably top three or four state schools in the country. Oh, I get it.
I'll raise my hand. Yeah. There's no way they would have admitted me. I get that. So I don't want to seem like I'm, you know, I'm wagging my finger at them. I'm just saying, I thought when it comes to athletics, there's always a little bit of wiggle room, especially for a school like North Carolina.
Yeah, I've never been inside of recruiting, but don't you think that there are some players that they couldn't bring in?
Or well, maybe could be if eligible? You're so academically ineligible.
I think it's a spectrum. I don't think a school like North Carolina just has access to every player. It's not the SEC.
Big shot. 888-710 for ISN.
But that is one, it points out a really good point with Belichick. All this press, all this talk, definitely attracting NIL money. So in that sense, it's a win for the program.
Belichick, I think, was attracting the NIL money, but everything after has kind of been embarrassing, right? He's supposed to steady the ship. He's supposed to be no distractions. He's Mr. Distraction now.
Yeah, but I wonder if you need a lot of publicity to get NIL money.
Was it one of the worst collapses we've ever seen? We'll tell you next.